You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Andy Martino, SNY. You know him from Baseball Night in New York every night at 6 p.m. You know him from Geico Sports Night this week. He is out in Carlsbad, California at the GM meetings covering it all, and you can catch all of his reports on BNNY at 6 on SNY's Geico Sports Night at 11 p.m. every night. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at MartinoNYC. Andrew, how is the West Coast treating you?
I can't believe you forgot for a moment when Sports Night was on. That was where that was the platform on which you built your legend.
One of the many. It was around 10:30 when I was there. That's why I said 11.
So, that's right. 10:30, yeah. And in front of a Midtown window. Times change.
Times do change.
Good. Thank you for asking. Yes. Everything's good.
So let's just tackle the big question. Why are the Mets having this much trouble finding someone to either be president of operations or GM?
Well, I think that it's hard to have a broad answer to that. Alderson had to try this morning because he was getting those questions. To me, it's an individual case by case. I mean, as I've gone through reporting on individual candidates, some people didn't feel ready. Some people were comfortable where they were. Some people were scared off by some combination of Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson. I think what Alderson said today was legitimate, that some people are intimidated by New York. If you humanize this, let's say you're the number two or three in the front office of, somewhere in the Midwest, Minnesota, Milwaukee, anything like that. And you're making more than $500,000 a year. Your kids enjoy their private school. You probably have a lake house, and your job feels secure. Those people, in some cases, were just like not wanting to come to New York. And you go through it individually, and each has its own explanation. There are people that the Mets have turned down that have been interested, and they've been deliberate about the pace of the process. So I think it's hard to answer that with a pithy answer, which is one of the reasons why Alderson was talking for so long today. I mean, that availability went on for a while because there's a lot of different ways to answer that.
Yeah, I just didn't love the idea that he put it out there about guys not wanting to be in New York, because he made it sound more as if that was a concern for a lot of candidates, or most candidates, mm-hmm. as opposed to the candidates that did have concerns about Alderson and about Steve Cohen. Let's talk about that aspect, though. First of all, how is it exactly, Andy, that the owner has already gotten a reputation for being difficult to work for when he's only been here for a year? That doesn't feel like it's a fair assessment.
Well, I don't know that it's just a firm reputation, but the tweets have raised eyebrows, especially the one that ripped on the hitters in season. Mm-hmm. That's not something a fire that a GM wants to put out. People have looked into stories about his business history and had questions there. And he's known as somebody who wants to be very involved. Now, that's not a bad thing. A lot of GMs, like many of us and companies, have probably unrealistic expectations about the amount of interference they get from their bosses. Typical GM or president of baseball ops wants to hear from the owner every once in a while. Cohen's I'm going to call you every day once or twice kind of owner. Hal Steinbrenner's a check in with me quarterly kind of owner, almost. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But, there are different styles, and Cohen's hands-on, into it. That would turn off some people. Some people really want to work with Steve Cohen. And weren't given the opportunity. Some people, like Billy Beane, wanted to work with Alderson and Cohen, but had his own personal reasons for not doing it. So, again, it all goes down to individually. But those are some of the concerns I've heard about Cohen.
Andy Martino with us from SNY. He is out at the GM meetings in California. So we've heard this new name come up over the last few hours, Adam Cromie. What do we know about Adam Cromie?
Well, Chris, I think we've known for weeks, if not months, that this was going to be the guy. If I've talked about Adam Cronin once, I've talked about him a million times.
Chris, obviously you haven't followed my coverage, so you would have a better idea that I've been pointing at Adam Cromie all along.
I have written 10 Adam Cromie columns this week. No, look, this was, I knew there was a mystery candidate, and we even talked about it at BNNY on Friday, the little mystery candidate box with a question mark. That was him. I couldn't get the name. The Washington Post dug it up today. They said he was in the mix, and then I was able to learn, I think some others reported it too, that he is a real serious possibility for this job. They like him. So that's the number one thing I can tell you. The other thing I can tell you is he's a person. He's a male. He exists. I'm filling in the blank myself. I've asked around some people in the industry, are like, oh, yeah, I know the name. Don't know him that well. Obviously, he was in all seriousness, he was an assistant GM of the Nationals. He was there for 10 years. He left in 2017 to join a Pittsburgh law firm. His experience was in like salary arbitration, somewhat versed in analytics. I talked to one assistant GM in the business who's friends with him, who vouches for his character, good guy, collaborative, love him. That's the one review I got on a personal level. And we may learn more as the days go on. I mean, he's not hired. Ultimately, Steve Cohen has to make this call, but I would certainly call him a leading candidate right now.
Okay. So of the GM that they bring in, Andy, tell me about, I guess it depends on the candidate some, but tell me about what kind of decision-making process that person is going to have. You know, not the process, but are they going to be allowed to bring in their own people as support staff and help and all that? Or is it, well, here's what we want. In other words, you're taking Bryn Alderson. You're taking this. You're going to keep this guy. You're definitely doing that. Mm-hmm. Where's the latitude there? And does it just depend on the candidate?
Depends on the candidate. But overall, there's not going to be a lot of upheaval in the Mets front office because they're happy with where they are. They made a ton of analytic hires since Cohen bought the team and Alderson became president. They like that. The scouting department, which is the Amateur International, which is overseen by Tommy Tanis, who had been under consideration for GM. They like him a lot. That's a very solid department that's well-established and not going anywhere. The guy they hired from the Dodgers to run analytics, a guy named by the name of Ben Zalzmer, has really impressed them. You have Bryn Alderson, who you mentioned, and Ian Levin as assistant GMs. None of that is going to change, no matter who the GM is. I mean, over time, right, people bring in their own people. People leave for other jobs, and these things evolve over time. But what the Mets are looking for right now is for someone to come in and be a leader for the system that they have. But the job that Zach Scott would have easily had he not had that mishap with the DUI arrest. That's what they're looking for, is somebody as good as Zach Scott, who was quite good, in my opinion, and in theirs, to continue what they considered to be solid progress in year one of Cohen's ownership.
Andy Martino, SNY, with us. Check out all of his coverage on Geico Sports Night tonight at 11. And then, of course, on Baseball Night in New York at 6. Follow him on Twitter at MartinoNYC. Michael Conforto, I'm assuming that they probably weren't all that surprised that he turned down the qualifying offer that quickly. You did not sound, in a report I saw yesterday, terribly optimistic at the possibility of him coming back. If you had to put a percentage on it, where would you put it?
Oh, gee. Certainly less than 30 or 40% off the top of my head. That. You saw his farewell at Citi Field. Those emotions were real. That seems to be his expectation based on that. They seem to think, they being Conforto and Scott Boras and Team Conforto over there at Boras Corp, seem to think that the market's going to be pretty robust. Boras, I think, is going to talk tomorrow. The GM meetings will be interesting to hear what he says. They could go the pillow contract route, the one-year deal to reestablish value, or they could say that they have significant multi-year interest. You know Scott Boras has a feel for the market before turning down that qualifying offer, where he he believes that he's got something out there. It's not like the door is completely closed with the Mets. It just feels that way, and I think probably agree. It just feels that way.
Yeah, it does feel like he's not coming back. And on the flip side, there's Noah Syndergaard. What's your read on Syndergaard? Will he accept it? It kind of feels like it would be a lot more likely that he would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd be nuts not to. I mean, that's more money than he would, almost certainly more money than he would get on the open market. It's $18.4 million for 1 year. I don't think he gets that on a one-year deal. The general, like the pitcher who is high ceiling but needs to prove himself healthy is generally like an $8, $10 million one-year deal, whether it's James Paxton, Corey Kluber, Taiwan Walker. You know, these guys are not making $18 million a year at that point in their career, so Syndergaard should certainly take it.
Andy, let's flip to the Yankees. Brian Cashman spoke a little while ago. What stood out to you about what he had to say today?
I stood there the whole time in that scrum, and I think what stuck out to me was how little there was to say. And I don't mean that as a negative on the Yankees. It's just that they're not really fully into their offseason yet, which is normal for the GM meetings. But, like, literally, I mean, I reported that they could talk about a Matt Olson trade, and that's true. Mm-hmm. Matt Olson's available, and that's the thing that could happen. But they just have come out of long, exhaustive coaching interviews that they seem to be just about wrapping up. I mean, when I saw Cashman just like in passing on the first day here, I was having a coffee, and I was like, how you doing? He was like, I'm exhausted. Been on these coaching Zooms nonstop. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where they're at. So there isn't much to say yet about the juicier items on the agenda.
If you had to guess, he did mention that he had been in touch with a couple of agents for shortstops. Is it more likely Seager than Correa at this point? Granted, we're just starting it.
You know, I'm interested to dig into that. We are just starting it. They like their shortstop prospects so much that I'm having a hard time seeing them go that kind of length on guys like that at shortstop. But that's a question that I still have, to be fair. I think Marcus Semien's absolutely perfect for them. You play shortstop for a couple of years, you move over to second once if an Anthony Volpe or you know, a Peraza in your system can come up. They tried to trade for Andrelton Simmons at the deadline, not able to make a deal with the Twins. You could do something in that model, what they did with Andrew Velasquez in the wild card game. Not Velasquez, he's now with the Angels, but someone that can pick it at shortstop would be one way to go. The big ticket items they'll explore, but again, I don't think they're all that eager to block their two shortstop prospects that they're excited about.
Okay, interesting. Did you ever consider the last couple of days the name Carlsbad? Like, did somebody just know a guy named Carl and decided, like, he didn't like him?
Carl is bad.
Carl's bad, man. Carl's a bad dude.
Turn on Carl. Bad stuff. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, you don't want to piss off Carl.
Not to be confused with Carl Jr. He's nice.
Yeah. Are you a Carl's Jr. guy or are you an In-N-Out guy?
Oh, In-N-Out. Come on. Wouldn't you agree?
Okay. No, of course. Of course. There's one person I've ever met that preferred Carl's Jr. to In-N-Out, and he's involved in some situations that I can't even mention his name on the radio, but he's somebody that you know too. And I don't even want to get into it. I'll text you.
Oh, that's intriguing. It's
really not when I tell you who it is.
Well, I still look forward to the text.
Anything else cooking? Anything else I should know? This is the hard hitting. I've done all my homework, Andy. So tell me everything that you know.
Well, let me see. I'm walking to do a little pre-tape for Geico Sports Night right now. I think I've told you pretty much everything there is to know about the baseball world. Noah Syndergaard's agent just walked by me. I would have spoken to him, but I'm tied up with you. Maybe I'd have had a better answer for you. Other than that, man, I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, one of the reasons it's slow here and a little slower than usual even is probably just because the industry's assuming they're going to shut down in a couple of weeks for a lockout. And I think the expectation here is that you're going to see some one-year deals like the one with Andrew Heaney and the Dodgers yesterday. someone like Steve Cohen could jump the market and just say, like, pay Javi Baez next week, in theory. But overall, the industry is in a bit of a holding pattern waiting for the CBA. So that's kind of the theme here, is that, like, everyone's sort of like, are we going to see at the winter meetings next month? And whether it's an agent or a general manager, they're all just kind of shrugging. Like, no one really knows the state of the industry right now in that way.
All right. That's before I let you go, then, the CBA situation, are we in line for a lengthy lockout at this point, if you're guessing?
You know, what I'm hearing is some cautious optimism that this is not going to be a labor war, be more of a labor skirmish. But
police action.
Right. Yes, exactly. But as I think we learned in 2020, it was like, there's no way that MLB and the players are going to have a labor war during a global pandemic. And there was racial unrest on the streets in a time of great drama and upheaval in America. And these two sides got into a pissing contest. So although the expectation is that it's going to be maybe okay after a short lockout this time, you just unfortunately have to take into account their genuine antipathy toward one another and how that gets going and takes on an energy of its own when it shouldn't.
Andrew, appreciate it, man. Thank you. Enjoy California.
Anytime, Chris.
Andy Martino, SNY. And, of course, you can catch him on Geico Sports Night tonight at 11, on Baseball Night in New York at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.